Thanks for listening to the Catalyst Church podcast. We exist to help people find and follow Jesus, and we trust that this message will help you do just that. If God has been using our ministry in your life, would you consider partnering with us in a few ways? First, follow us on social media to stay up to date on all we have going on at Catalyst Woodland. Second, we have found that positive reviews on Google or Facebook go a long way in how their algorithms choose who to promote online. Would you take some time and leave us a review on those platforms? It's amazing how just a few minutes of time can translate to such a huge impact when people are looking for a church. Again, thanks for listening in, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
I want to begin with maybe a bit of an odd question this morning. Just so everyone's clear, this is not an out loud thing, okay? We're still very monologue-y, so just keep it up top, lest you be the one person who shouts it out. You're like, oh, that, so I'm just helping you out. So here's the question. Have you ever thought about what you deserve? What you deserve in life? Maybe what you deserve in your career, what you deserve in your relationships, what you deserve in your finances, whatever it may be, what you deserve. I'll give you a few examples from my life this last week. Wednesday, go to the bank, and I'm still one of those old school people. I don't trust the machine, so I go and I stand, and I know you're like, oh, you don't have to. I know. Anyway, I'm standing, and there's a long line of people, and I don't know if you bank at the same place I do, but almost every bank I go into, it's the exact same. There's like 18 windows, right? And there's one person working. I don't understand with this big long line. And then inevitably what's going to happen is someone walks behind like a supervisor or whatever. And they all say the same thing. I don't know if it's in the training manual or whatever. They will look at you and say, they'll be right with you. And then leave. And I'm like, no, you know what would be right with me? You could be right with me. Go walk up to any of these 20 windows and like help me out. Because I deserve to have my time honored and respected and to be moving along with my day because I got important stuff to do. Here's another one. This happened yesterday. I don't know if you've had this happen where multiple cars all pull up to a four-way stop at the same time. And all that who got there first goes out the window, right? None of it applies. And so everyone's thinking back to when they were 15 getting their permit. And they're like, the person on the left, no, maybe it's the north. What? And so everyone's just standing. And everyone's just staring at each other. No one's going to go. And then you being, you know, the holiest, most Christ-like, you know, you let them go. There's two ways to do it. There's the right-handed go ahead or the left. I prefer the left. It's much more dramatic. Shocker. So I'm like, you go first. And this guy, he goes, and what does he do? Nothing. He doesn't acknowledge it, and I don't need much. You don't need much. I need two fingers, one, very important, two finger. Just like, thanks. That's all I need. Just like, I don't need you to roll your window down. Thanks, man. I don't need, I just little acknowledgement. Here's another one. This is my last one. I'm not going to do this all day. So kids, parents, you know this. You deserve to be in a house where your kids aren't crazy. You deserve, wow, all right. You deserve to be in a house where your kids listen to you and pay attention and do the things that maturing kids do, not argue and bicker and all that. And so if you are a parent, you have forced reconciliation in your home. You have, hey, you come here right now. Hey, say you're sorry. And then ask for forgiveness. But I don't care what you want. Say it. Fine. I'm so sorry. Do you forgive me? Very nice. And you? You say, I forgive you. I forgive you. Say it. So, okay, hug, right? And then and you don't care. It's super disingenuous, but you don't care because you got stuff to get done. And you deserve to be in a home where your kids aren't crazy. What is it that you deserve? And our whole world is kind of built around this whole idea. And as I was thinking about it this week, we expend so much energy on what we deserve. We think about it in our job, our marriage, in our other relationships. We think about this all the time. And God help us if we don't get what we deserve, right? God help them as well if we don't get what is fair and what is right and what I deserve. And then someone goes and gets something better, all bets are off. What is that within us? And grace for those who don't give us what we deserve, don't give us what's fair, what's right, what's ours, what's owed to us, wouldn't have any grace for that. And I'll be honest, America, the whole America, doesn't help, right? doesn't help when it comes to what we deserve and everything being fair, because it just pushes this whole, no, everything is fair, everyone is right, everything is good, everything is equal, and it just continues to push and push and push and push. What is abundantly clear is that Jesus does not play this same game. He does not play this whole idea of what is fair and what is right and what we deserve. In fact, he actually does something quite different. And so today, I want to do something a little unorthodox. If you are a part of Catalyst or been around for a little while, that's going to come as no surprise to you that on Easter, I'm doing something different than the Easter story. That's kind of our jam. It's what you're like, oh, that's expected. And then we do the thing that's over here. So it's a little different. And so just kind of prepare yourself. We'll get to that eventually, but we're going to enter in through something a little different. And that other thing a little different is Matthew chapter 20. It's a parable, which is a story of Jesus to illustrate a point. So if you don't have a Bible and you want one to look on with us, there's some at the exit there and there. Just go ahead and grab it. And if you don't own one, you can go ahead and take it with you. It's our gift to you. Take it with you. Or you can open on any app or device or whatever you have. Or they'll be on the screens to either side of me. So Matthew chapter 20 is where we will begin. So before we do that and dive in, let me pray, and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for these moments today. We can stop in the busyness of our lives and recognize the significance of what happened over 2,000 years ago that still impacts us today. God, would you open our hearts and minds, open our ears to hear what you have for us, how you have changed the game and play a different game entirely. Jesus, we love you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. So here at Catalyst, we have another little thing. After I pray and before we get going, I ask, are you ready to go to work? And you just simply say yes. So here we go. Are you ready to go to work?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. Matthew chapter 20, way better than the 8:30. I'll just say that. But hey, but you guys are the stubborn ones anyway. You're like, please come to the 8:30 or 11:30. You're like, no, we're coming to 10. That's just how we're going to do it. So I'm impressed. Here we go. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like. I'm going to pause there for a sec. So what Jesus is doing is he's telling this story to a bunch of people gathered around. And basically what he wants to say is, look, you operate by a certain system. Our culture operates by a certain system. Your family operates by a certain system. I operate under something entirely different. Something completely and utterly separate is how I operate. The core values of the family in which I run, they are like this, okay? So here he goes, starts to set them up. So they're all gripped, like, ooh, this is, he's talking about heaven, this is crazy, here we go. A master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. At this point, everyone in the story is let down, right? Because they were all like, oh, this is going to be great. They're like, oh, this really? This story sucks. This is, I don't see anything like gripping or weird, because this is totally normal. Someone will go out, hire someone to work for them. They would pay him a denarius, which was a very fair wage. That was the going rate for a day of work. This is very normal. This is very average. This is very nothing to get worked up about at all. So he continues. And going out about the third hour, so 3 hours later, he goes out and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said, and to them he said, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever's right, I will give you. Don't worry about it. I'll hook you up. Everything's going to be fine. I got you. And so they went. Going out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, so 6 hours later, the 9 hours later, he goes out and he finds others. And he said to them, what, 6 hour, 9 hour, sorry, and did the same. So now he's getting all these groups of people. And again, the story, they're like, okay, this story's getting worse, Jesus. Like, this is more boring. We expected something like, are you going to heal someone soon? Or what's happening? Because we're just getting more and more. This is ridiculous. What is happening? He's like, relax, okay? I'm the great storyteller. Relax. He didn't say that. I imagine he was like, hey, shut up. So he keeps going. And about the 11th hour, okay, so now we're at the end of the day, right at the end. He went out and found others standing. And he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? And they said, well, that's an obvious question because no one's hired us, obviously. And he said to them, well, hey, you come into the vineyard too. They're like, okay. So now we have five groups. Five, important, is the biblical number for grace. Five groups that he now has in the vineyard. Everyone is still confused. the story actually makes sense. So it, which normally Jesus's stories very quickly don't make sense. So this is, we're still into it and it's still making sense. And so they're probably frustrated. I'll imagine at least three just walked away. They're like, this is dumb. They left. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. Okay, now everyone turns around. Everyone's like, whoa, hold on, wait, what? What'd you just say? You said last to the first. He must have been mistaken, because that's not how this goes. When you pay someone for work, even in our culture a little bit today, right? You start at the top and then it just kind of goes down. It's a normal thing. Like, these guys have been here all day. Those jokers have been here for an hour. It's only right to start here and then pay our way down. What are you thinking? What are you doing? So now they're captivated. Now he has their attention. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. The guys who, they've been around for like 20 minutes. Now when those hired first came, Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, which is only fair, right? So they're standing there, now getting paid last, which is a slap in the face. And then those guys get a denarius, and they're like, well, hold on. They've been working for an hour. Actually, this is very good. I don't know. You know, this is great. This is fantastic. Because if they only worked an hour and they got one, we work 12. We're getting 12. We're getting paid. This is fantastic. And so they believe this is obvious. It's only fair that we get 12 times more than they did because we got 12 times more work done. But the story continues. Each of them also received a denarius. Uh-oh. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last worked only 1 hour. You made them equal with us? Us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat? Really? Equal. We're equal? Yeah. You're not equal? No, we're not equal. We did 12 times more work. That is not equal. What are you thinking? You're blowing it. We deserve so much more. This isn't fair. But he replied to one of them, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Like, did we set this up? Like, I'm not, take what belongs to you and go. I chose to give this last worker as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. See, first, I think those first guys missed a huge opportunity, right? When he hands it all out, I would have turned and said, hey, so just quick question. Are you hiring tomorrow? Because if so, 4:15, I'll be ready, like right over there, like that. Missed opportunity. But point being is that he treated all of them equal. And the reaction that they gave is the same reaction we would. And they did hearing the story. Well, time out. This isn't fair. You need to give me what I deserve. And the whole point of the story is to illustrate that Jesus looks at them and goes, you're right. It's not fair because I'm not giving you what you deserve. What you deserve is so much worse. What you deserve in the kingdom of God is entirely different. And you could almost see Jesus look at them and saying, you know what? You're right. What you deserve is for me to do what you did to my father. That you look at him and you say, look at all the plans you have for me. You know what? I'll go ahead. I'm actually going to do my own thing. We'll take it from here. Thank you very much. And walk away. So you know what is really actually fair is for me to just walk away. For me to leave you all here. But you know, I don't play that way. And the cross sets a completely different standard for fairness. Jesus changes everything on the cross because what is fair is not what happened to him on the cross. What he deserved is not what happened to him on the cross. What is right and what should be the thing to do is not what happened to him. And so here's kind of my big idea that I want to just expand upon for the rest of our time together. It's this, that Jesus shows us a God who loves by grace, not by merit. God loves us by grace, not by merit. Listen, you know that maybe not today, maybe not yesterday, but at some point in your life, things have gotten a little screwed up. That you've significantly blown it at some point in your life. You don't need me to stand up here and tell you how terrible you are. You have enough people in your life for that, right? You have bosses and friends. Some of you have spouses. Like, right, there's people in your life who just let you know, like, hey, you're blowing it. Hey, things aren't going right. And some of you, the first time you are stepping back into a church is now because you were raised in a church that all they did was tell you how terrible you were. You went and they're like, you're horrible, you're awful, you're terrible, happy Easter, right? And then they send you off and you're like, that was miserable. What is the point of that? And then you just swore the whole thing off because you're tired of getting told how terrible you are until you decide, you know, maybe I'll give it another shot. I mean, that is the entirety of the Old Testament. If you want me to summarize the Old Testament, the entirety of the Old Testament can be summarized by we're terrible people who suck at following rules. That's the Old Testament. That just all wrapped up. Is he says, here's what I want you to do. And we're like, nah, we're good. He's like, yeah, but I just parted the Red Sea. We're like, yes, we'll say, very impressive. I mean, top-notch work. Thank you so much. We'll take it from here. Right? And then again and again and again, the people of God continue to do this. Say, yes, thank you so much. That was, I mean, very impressive. But we'll take it from here. And so after going for time and time again, like, let me just give you some rules. You follow the rules, and I'll give you grace. He realizes, you know, this isn't working anymore. This isn't working. I cannot judge you by your merits again because it just doesn't work. And one of the things I've realized for following Jesus as long as I have is that following Jesus is so much easier when you stop thinking about what is fair, and you stop thinking about what is right, and you stop thinking about what you deserve, because what you deserve is not what happened on that cross. What you deserve is not grace. What I deserve with the merit of my life is not grace. I was trying to explain this to one of my kids. We have three young boys, and I was trying to explain this to them on Good Friday, which is not easy to do, because my wife and I, we sat around the kitchen table and we said, boys, what is the significance of today, Good Friday? And they said a bunch of really heretical stuff. And I was like, okay, this is not working. We're terrible parents. The Easter bunny went into a cave. And, okay, stop. Okay, no, none of that happened. So I'm sitting there. My wife is clearly like, no, babe, this is you. This is on you. You do this as a job. You should probably figure this out. I know. So have you ever had a conversation with your eyes? With your, you know, we're like, and she's like, this is really disappointing. You should do better. I know. And so I was like, oh, I got it. Son, here's what happened. Imagine that you blew it. Which is not hard for them to imagine. Imagine that you blew it, you know, like yesterday. He's like, yeah, I know. I said, and your punishment is a really, really bad spanking. And he's like, uh-huh, that would kill you. He was like, what? I was like, yes, just so we're clear, that can actually happen. I just want to make very clear that I can actually spank you and kill you. He's like, what? Yeah, but moving on, not the point. I just wanted to make sure that was cemented right here up top, that if I wanted to, I could kill you. And so, but that's not the point. The point is a bad spanking. He's like, oh, that's terrible, Dad. I was like, I know. So far, so good. And then Jesus steps in and he goes, you know what? I'll take that spanking. And he goes, but he did nothing wrong. I was like, I know. My wife was like, better. This is better. This is better. And so I'm looking at him like, and then he took the spanking and it killed him. He's like, what? That's terrible. I said, I know. But then he just let you go free. What? He let me go free. He said, yeah. He goes, that's awesome. You should tell people. I'm trying. That's why I'm doing my best to tell people about this. I know. And he just looked at me. He's like, but Dad, that's not fair. I said, I know, son. I know it's not fair. But that's the whole point. And that's what Jesus does, is he consistently and constantly gives people what they don't deserve. And he loves to do it in front of people that he knows it's going to frustrate. You look all throughout the Bible and he's doing all this stuff. Like, oh, they don't deserve it and they're not worthy and they don't look right and speak right and act right, but I'm going to heal them. No, you can't. Watch me. And then he goes and does it. And all of the religious people get so mad at him for turning and giving grace to people that don't deserve it. God loves to dispense grace rather than debt, rather than a you owe me, rather than a you should do this or you should do that. Have you ever got something that you don't deserve? Maybe like an award or a thank you, and it's really uncomfortable. It's really awkward when you get something you don't deserve. My grandfather, he's kind of really known for this. A couple of you have met my grandfather when he's been here. You would know if you met my grandfather. My grandfather is handsy. Okay, we'll just say it that way. He loves to just smother people with love who don't ask for it or want it. He kissed my high school girlfriend before I did, so there's that. And it was awful. She was like, "Oh, can I meet your grandfather?" I was like, you can, sure. And so she comes in the house. She's like, "Hi, Grandpa." He's like, "Hello." And I'm like, "No," right? And he kisses her, and I'm like, that just set me back like 2 months. So this is my grandfather, and he just loves to just smother. He just hugs and kisses, and my whole life he's done this. I'll see him, and I'm like, "Hey, Grandpa." He's like, "Come here." And he comes up, and he's just like hugging me and kissing me. I'm like, "Oh, God, this is so awkward." And for me, it's so uncomfortable. It's so awkward because I'm like, I didn't do anything to deserve. Like, I didn't win a trophy this week. I'm just your grandson. This is so uncomfortable. And I want to just push it away and say, "You know what? Stop. This is weird. Stop. Like, let me go back and just do my own thing and do my life and like go work on something." And so many of us, that's what we do to God. He says, I want to just give this to you. I want to just smother you with grace and love and just say, all of this I've done for you. Like, it's weird. This is awkward. Let me just go back to my life. Let me do my own thing. Let me just get everything right. Let me go work for it. I haven't done anything for this. This is super uncomfortable. Just let me go back. And one of the things I learned a couple years ago is rather than to fight my grandfather, which became increasingly awkward the bigger I got, like to have this grown man like just taking it, is to actually just embrace it and hug him back. And it completely changed. Now I enjoy seeing my grandfather when he comes in. I hug him, and I gotta make sure I don't hug him too hard because he's getting really old, and it just, you know, and I don't want to hurt him, and so I hug him really hard, and it's just. And then he hugged harder, and then I'm like, okay, that thank you, that's enough. But it's one of those things where I just realized that I need to just take it. I don't deserve it. I didn't do anything for it. It reminds me of another parable in Luke chapter 15. If maybe you know the story, the story of the prodigal son, there's this dad and he has two sons, and one of the sons decides to take his inheritance and run away with it and just blow all of his money. And he gets to the end of his money, the end of his rope, the end of his life, and he says, I need to go back because I have nowhere else to go. I have to go back to my dad's house, but going back to my dad's house is going to be very uncomfortable. So he's ready to go back, and he's trying to rehearse his lines. What am I going to say when I get to my dad? What's going to happen? What is he going to say to me? And as he's walking back, his dad sees him and takes off running. Like my grandfather was like, "Oh, here he is!" And he can see it coming, and what he's expecting is just to get railed on. But except he gets, the Bible says, carried up in a hug. And his father hugs him and kisses him, and he does what we all want to do, pushes back. "Dad, no, dad, you don't understand. I don't deserve this. Here's my speech. Okay, Dad, I'm sorry." And he cuts him off. Says, "I don't care. Literally don't care. I'm just excited you're here. I'm so excited you're back. Actually, you know what? You look terrible. Let's get you some stuff." So he calls and gets him the best clothes and the ring. And he's like, "Well, you know what? Even better, let's throw a party. Yeah, party. Let's go." And so they throw this big party. And you can just imagine the son walking through the party. Everybody knows. Everyone knows who he is. Everyone's kind of, "Hey, man, we're so glad you're back. All right, is that the one? That's the one? I'd only heard about him, but he's back? And why is he wearing that? But didn't he, but right? Yeah, that's what he did, okay. Hey, your son's back. So excited, really, great. But what, he blew it. Like, you had to lay off 5 guys because you gave him the inheritance. Like, you get that, right? Yeah, I get it, but he's back. Okay, cool, right? It's this really awkward thing. And just imagine being the son, like, "Hey, yeah, don't deserve it. Great party. Awesome. This is great. Oh, more wine. Okay, yep, didn't deserve that either," right? He's just walking around. And for me, why Easter matters is that we walk through this life trying to not get what we don't deserve. Just try to, okay, I got to make sure that's all right. Got to make sure the finance is good. Make sure the relationship. And we're balancing this whole thing. And the cross screams, just stop playing that game. God doesn't need you to be stacking up all your good stuff. It's not why he cares about you. It's not why he loves you. His son died on a cross to give you grace before you were ever born. I want to live the rest of my days just like those guys who were hired for like 45 minutes and got a day's wage. They're like, yeah, this is pretty sweet. This is awesome. Hey, sorry about that, guys. Yeah, hey, just glad to be here. This is great. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Right? That's how I want to live my life. I don't want to be just, hey, that's not what they deserve. Hey, this isn't fair. Hey, and so many of us, that's how we live our life. This isn't fair. This isn't right. I get what I deserve. I want to be the guy over here being like, hey, just glad to be here. All right, thanks so much. Hey, 20 minutes of work. All right, we'll see you later. That's what I want to be. That's what I want to live. And Jesus died so you could live like that. Say, hey, just glad to be here. So grateful that I am getting what I don't deserve. I recognize that on a day like today, there's usually three types of people. Now, I'm very broadly categorizing, so just give me some grace, please. But three big kind of buckets. There's people who are kind of casual about this whole thing. And if you're here, the person who's kind of casual, it's like, yeah, I know the story. I've heard it before. It was no shocker that Jesus got out of the grave on Easter. I didn't show up and like, what? What are you talking about? Like, you know the story. It's kind of not your thing. It doesn't really, you're like, yeah, it's fine. Doesn't hit me in the feels at all. It's just one more thing. Or maybe you're here to get someone off your back. Like someone had been inviting you. They're like, but I'll buy you lunch. Okay, fine. I'll go. And if that's you, I'm so glad you're here today. Actually, I'm actually pretty impressed that you are here. Ton of respect for you. It's a huge deal that you would come into a place like that. I know it can be awkward and uncomfortable, and I hope that in many ways it wasn't, that you saw that we designed all this for you, and so thank you for being here. The second group of people are those who are just kind of considering. I would say maybe on the fence. You're like, yeah, I've heard the story, but I don't quite know. I'm still trying to figure some things out. What I would say to you today is stop playing the game. You don't need to keep playing this game of what is fair and what is right and what you deserve, because what you deserve is the full consequence of your sin, not grace. And Jesus has died to give you grace. And just take that and receive it for what it is. I know it's awkward. I know it doesn't, but I didn't earn it. I didn't do anything for it. I know. That's part of the point. Just enjoy what God has given his son to die for you. And then the last are kind of those who I would say are convinced. You came in this morning, you believe in the resurrection of Jesus, and you're just excited to be a part of the party. And I would encourage you today just to leave more thankful than you came for what you don't deserve. Spend the rest of your day just thanking God for this. Man, this, I don't deserve this. I didn't do anything for this. I'm going to blow it today. I'm going to blow it in the future. And you know what? He still forgives me. This is nuts. I don't understand it, but thank you. And so if you could all do me a favor, if every single person could pull out their program that they got in with the tear off on the bottom, I would really appreciate this. We do this every Easter. It's just an easy way for us to kind of get a dial of who's in the room. I assure you, we're not going to do anything weird or creepy. I'm a part of this blog group on Facebook of a bunch of pastors, and someone, I don't know why I'm sharing this, someone wrote, hey, what's your follow-up for Easter? And this is literally what they said. They said, well, we get their Connect card and their address, and then 3 days later, we show up with bread. And I'm like, what? So anyway, so if you go to church in Georgia, you get bread. So anyway, we're not going to bring you bread. Sorry, if you're like, I want bread. And we're not going to call you, show up at your door. We just kind of want to know who it is who's in the room and how we can serve you best. And so if you could do one of four things, there you'll see on the back and the bottom of your Connect card, A, B, C, D. And so just kind of let us know where you're at. So A is that you already believe. Those would be the convinced. You show up, you're like, you know what, look, I love this. I am all about the Easter story. I've been following Jesus for a long time, maybe a couple weeks, a couple years, a couple decades, whatever it may be. A, that's you. B would be for those who are believing today. Maybe you're part of those convinced and you're considering. You say, you know what, I don't want to play this game anymore. I don't want to lay on this side when I should be on this side. I want to go from no faith to faith, to not knowing Jesus, to friend of God, to outside of God's grace and love, to just standing there excited to be a part of the party. And today is the day that you say, you know what, enough, I'm done playing the game. I'm putting my faith in Jesus. And if that's you, that is awesome. Would you go ahead and mark that? The C is considering. You're just still figuring things out. You're still considering. And I want to let you know that if you are still considering, still trying to figure things out, then I would welcome you to be a part of the family of Catalyst. We are open to questions. We are totally cool with people who do not believe what we believe and just want to wrestle with it through with us together. Your questions, your pushbacks, your, well, I don't know about that, Pastor, all of that is safe in this place. And then D, those who you don't intend, you're like, hey, look, man, I'm here for the free lunch. I heard there was a donut wall. That's pretty sweet. And so, but I don't, this isn't my thing. Like, maybe we'll see you for Christmas. It's just not my deal. And if that's you, again, huge respect. Thank you so much for coming out. I would love if you would just let us know that. So as we close today, I want to do what I did as well in first service, is just to give you a few moments, just you alone with God, to pray whatever it is that you want to pray. If you don't know what it is to pray, that's fine. God knows. And even if it's just as childish and innocent as God just thanks, maybe prayer is kind of awkward for you, that's fine. God knows. God's not impressed by big flowery language. He just wants to know what's on your heart. So just talk to God in the quietness of your heart and whatever that is to you for just a minute here, and then I will close this in prayer. We'll close with some songs. Let's pray. God, you didn't have to do what you did. God, what we deserve is the full consequence of the choices that we've made, the choices that we've been making from the beginning of time, to walk away from you, to see the plan of God and think we know better. But God, just letting us have what we deserve, it wasn't good enough for you. You loved us too much. And so you sent your son to die on a cross, to be buried for 3 days and raised again to life, to show us that you want to give grace at whatever cost. God, we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the grace that you have poured out on us that we didn't deserve, that we didn't merit, that we didn't earn, but you so freely gave. God, we thank you. Jesus, for your sacrifice, we thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.